been studying the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And today we're studying the last church, a church you and I have heard lots about, haven't we? What's the church we're talking about? Laodicea. Laodicea. A church that nothing good is said about this church. Only that they must repent from their ways. But if there's something that I've learned as we've been studying these churches in the book of Revelation, is that it doesn't matter if they were doing something bad. It doesn't matter that they were doing only good, like the church in Smyrna and Philadelphia. All seven churches at the end receive words of encouragement. They receive a promise, each one of them. God invites to continue trusting in Him. And that happens also with this church, the church of Laodicea. The city of Laodicea was a prominent city, was well known for its banking system, its financial system. Gold was kept in the city of Laodicea. They also were good in the industry of textile. And people came from all over to buy their wool, fine wool, to make clothing. They also had a medical school there. And they actually had an eye salve to cure problems that people had with their eyes. This city was so wealthy that in the year 60 AD, an earthquake struck. And they did not ask anybody for financial help. They had it all. They could take care of themselves. And this same kind of attitude had crept into the church at Laodicea. They had need of nothing. But they did need something. In fact, if they did not change their ways, there was the danger that not only they would perish, but their entire community would perish. And we find in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, a message to this church. And the one giving it again is who, brothers and sisters? Jesus Christ, He's the one giving it. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. In other words, the creator of heaven and earth. Can we trust that kind of a message? We can trust that kind of a message. And here we find Jesus speaking to His church, inviting His church to listen, to follow the instructions that He has for them. In fact, I see Jesus here taking the role of a physician. Have you ever been to the doctor? You feel great. You feel like everything is going well. People around you say, hey, doing well. You're looking great. But when you do a few tests, all of a sudden he says, you know, your blood pressure is a little what? High. Your sugar is high. And then you start going like, wow, how did that happen? That's never happened to me before. You see, on the outside, Laodicea looked great. There's nothing you could say about it. But in the inside, it was dying. And Jesus, the great physician, was telling the church, you must do something about it or you will perish. Verse 15 tells us, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are what? Lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The word there literally means vomit you. I don't know about you, but we usually do that when we're not feeling what? Wow. When something we've eaten has gone bad, and our stomach tells us it's time to let it out. And Jesus was saying, that's the kind of feeling I have with you, Laodicea. I can't stand the things that you are doing. Sister White, commenting on the actions of this church, tells us the following. Let no one suppose that because a man is constantly busy, he demonstrates his fidelity. For the tempter, Satan, is constantly busy and is helping those who are endeavoring to labor in accordance to their own devisings. Idolatry of self, of my plans, my devisings, Christ looks upon with contempt. We are not to do a particle less than it is in our power to advance Christ's kingdom. We are to labor in the spirit and manner in which he labored. He holds every man responsible for working in the right way. Only those who labor for the Master in a Christ-like spirit and manner because of their love for him and their desire to please him, only those who refuse to take to themselves any praise and glory will receive the approbation of heaven. Something had happened at this church where everything that they were doing was all about us, self. And they had come to a point where without knowing, they were in serious danger of perishing. In fact, Jesus tells them the following. You say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And maybe we could even put there, need of no one, nobody. And you do not know, Jesus tells them, that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He describes these symptoms that the church at Laodicea was experiencing. Wretched. No joy if you went to that church. Miserable. They weren't feeling well. Poor. They had no spiritual resources to give. Blind. They didn't know even who was sitting next to them when they went to church. They couldn't see God's plan for their life. And naked. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that your Christian experience lacks joy? Have you ever felt that your Christian experience is one of constant misery? Have you ever felt that you don't have the strength, the resources to fight the tempter? Do you feel like you can't see God's plan for your life? You feel naked, you feel vulnerable to the attacks that this world throws at us. Jesus speaks to this church. And he speaks to this church with love. In fact, now he becomes a financial advisor. That's what he does. He takes the role of a financial advisor, but in the sense of spiritual advice, in the sense of saying, church, this is what you can still do. You're bankrupt. Spiritually speaking, you're bankrupt. You have nothing to offer this world. But I have a plan. And if you follow this plan, you'll be okay. And verse 18 gives us this plan. I advise you to buy from me what, brothers and sisters? Gold. Wait a second. Jesus, you just told us we are broke. And you expect us to buy what? Gold. And not just any type of gold. This is refined gold by fire. Pure gold. The best gold. And he says, why? That you may become rich. He tells the church, buy from me white garments that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Buy from me eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. And again, the question, how, God? How can I purchase these things? And again, the invitation that Jesus makes is the only place you can find these three things is where? Jesus says, with me. There's no other place. No bank. No Macy's. No hospital can give you what I can give you. And Jesus says, I've paid for it already. Amen? I've paid for it already. What is this gold he's talking about? It's called faith. Is faith gold, brothers and sisters? Has faith brought us through many a trials? Has faith given us the courage to stand up when we were feeling like, I'm not standing up right now? Has faith given us the courage to see beyond the situation we found ourselves in? It's gold. It's gold. And this faith is an expression of God's faithfulness. Amen? His love. His love for you. His love for me. His love for his church. Come, buy from me, he says. Buy this love that you are yearning for. It'll change your life. Buy from me. You'll have faith that will move mountains. Buy from me. Come to me. And he invites this church to buy these garments. Yes, Laodicea knew about garments. They were in the textile industry. But the garment that Jesus was offering his church was the garment of his own righteousness. Amen? His righteousness. Somebody asked me about two churches ago. I can't remember how many weeks ago, but two churches ago. We talked about these garments of righteousness. And after church, they asked me, Pastor Sam, when can we have these garments? You forgot to mention that. I said, I did. So I'll mention it now. We can have those garments today. Amen. Today. We don't have to wait until Jesus' second coming. We can have those garments today. Come buy from me. I'll give it to you today. Did Adam and Lee and Eve lose their garments? They did. How long did it take for them to receive their new garments? Once they repented, God said, here, let me cover you. The prodigal son, was he in a rut? He had lost everything. He lost the money he had, the job he had, the clothes he had, the food he had. He was eating food with the pigs. And he decided one day to lift up his eyes and go, what am I doing here? My dad, he treats the people that work for him way better than what I'm eating here. I'm going back home. I'll be one of the laborers. And he started heading back home. And where was dad, brothers and sisters? He was waiting for his son. And he saw him at a distance. And did he just wait there and say, well, he has to come? What did he do? He ran out to see his son. And when he saw his son that was coming back home in the condition he was in, what did he do? He took off his coat. And he said, son, here, let me cover you with this. He covered his son. He gave him his ring. He welcomed him home that very day. My wife. Thank you. I'm doing something wrong here. It got in the way. Thank you. That's what happened. That same garment is something Jesus wants to give us today, brothers and sisters. He wants to give us that eye salve, to anoint our eyes. When we think of oil, what do we think of in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. And how do we receive the Holy Spirit? What must we do to receive the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus? Ask! That's what we need to do, is what? Ask. Ask, and I will give it to you so you can see. And especially see those around you who are needing to see Jesus. Amen? Especially those who need to be informed that there is a God. There is a Savior. And His name is Jesus. The best financial advisor comes to his church and tells the church what they need to do to turn their situation around. But in verse 19, we find a phrase that reminds me of another role that God plays. He's not only the great physician, he's not only the greatest financial advisor, but it says in verse 19, those whom I love, I what? Rebuke, reprove, and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He takes on the role of a father. And I don't know about you, but when my parents disciplined me, which was often, I sometimes had this doubt in my mind. I don't know if that happened to you. Hopefully it didn't. But I thought, my parents don't love me. They like my sister more than me. Oh. Oh, yes. But I'm glad I came to the realization. Praise God, because only He's the one who can open our eyes to truth. Amen? You know, God speaks to youth. He speaks to children. He speaks to adults. And if we let Him, if we open our ears, He'll speak to us. And He made me realize that what my parents were trying to do was to teach me to be responsible. And what they were doing because they loved me. Amen? That's why Jesus is telling His church these things. Because He loves His church. He's afraid that they're going to perish in their ways. And so He invites them to listen to His counsel, to do the things that He's calling them to do, to be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20 tells us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." As I read this phrase, it just came to me, and I said, there's something wrong here. Why is Jesus knocking at the door? Why is He outside? Why isn't He inside? What happened? Did all of a sudden His church, His people, get so busy that they slowly but surely started to push Him out? There's no more space, no more time for Him to actually be inside. Jesus is standing outside, knocking to see if we will open the door. But I also read a message of hope here, a positive picture. And that is, Jesus has not given up on His church. Amen? Amen? Doesn't matter how deep and far we've fallen, He has not given up on us. He is constantly knocking at our door. He's standing there. I don't know you, but when I hear the phrase, somebody's at the door, that means what? They're here. They're a step away from meeting me. So Jesus, is He far away from His church or close, brothers and sisters? He's close. He's that close that He's right there at the door, knocking, seeing if we will hear His voice. Verse 20 tells us, "If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." Fellowship lunch. It takes time to eat, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? It takes time to get ready for a meal. And that's the only thing God is asking from us. Give me some time. Let me come in. He even says, I'll bring the food. But let's spend some time together in fellowship, in a relationship with each other. And the promise to this church comes in verse 21. "He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Do we understand this phrase? Do we truly comprehend it? People pay thousands of dollars to eat several feet away from a presidential candidate. Wow, I was in the same room with so-and-so. It cost me a couple of. And Jesus, the King of the universe, is saying, if you and I overcome, guess where we're sitting? We're sitting with him on his throne. I don't know about you, but 1 minute of that, is worth more than anything this world could offer you. Amen? More. 1 minute, right there, just 1 minute. We're going to be dad, mom, look. I need a picture of this. And we won't even be able to ask questions there, right? Because we're going to be like, and the whole universe is going to be like, powerful picture, amen? Sitting beside the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can even see him doing this. Just putting his arm around us. Saying, hey, we have a relationship. I'm glad you're finally home. Glad you're finally home. Do we want to accept Jesus' invitation today, brothers and sisters? Amen. That's an invitation he makes. He's been making for hundreds of years, thousands of years. And the only thing he invites us is to hear, to listen, to obey, to trust him, to put into practice those things he has told his people. Amen.